Richard Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's rock the Casbah.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery,
whatever that means,
infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
It is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here.
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Would you help us rock the Casbah? I don't know what that means either, but does anybody know what that song meant? Was it the Knack or the Clash? They were rocking the Casbah. Sharia law don't like it. I think they were singing about Muslims. Does anybody know the lyrics? Jimmy, you did country music. Did you even play that song at any time in your illustrious radio career?
I did not.
Have you ever heard the song?
I've heard of you mention it.
That's it.
That's the only.
You, yeah. Come on.
No. That's honestly the
Rock
truth.
The Casbah. That was huge. So I take it you never danced to it.
No.
Did you ever dance at all?
No.
Because you're a Baptist. And
and
you don't want to be doing the dancing.
That's right.
Because that would be taboo. It was a song by the Knack. Nobody could understand the lyrics. Nobody knew what they were talking about. And yet it was a number one hit. But isn't that the case with a lot of lyrics? You have no idea what they're singing. And yet we sing along and we write our own lyrics. Would you please help us to rock our Casbah, whatever that means, by sending wretched things to idea@wretched.org. And feel free to text 877-282-2337.
Yeah, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, my husband is an elder at the church we've attended for many years. The pastor often makes decisions without input from or communication with the other elders. And when asked about this, he becomes very defensive. This has put my husband in a difficult spot, especially when changes occur without his input, such as appointing new leaders or leasing additional buildings. Should we leave the church since we don't approve of this leadership style?
Not yet. I would suggest you give it a go, that you try to address the issue. And here's what I might suggest you go looking for. Go to a file cabinet someplace and get the church bylaws. Take a look at the church polity. How is the place structured? What are the governing documents, if you will, the constitution of your church? How do they identify the authority and decision-making powers? You're most likely going to have to look under the elder section. What is their authority inside of the church? Furthermore, you're going to want to look specifically at the ecclesiology of what is the role of the congregation. So it's really discovering if you are elder ruled. If you're elder ruled, well, then your pastor can do whatever he wants. If it's like singular elder rule, then he calls the shots. If those are the governing documents, then that's what you got. And you either need to submit to that or try to change them or find a place where you perhaps feel that the church polity is more biblical. You could also have an elder-led church. What is the role of the congregation? Have you fired your congregation? Or are they involved in big decisions? It is our opinion at Alpharetta Bible Church. And please note, there are varying church polities, believe me. There are a lot of different takes on it, because I think that's one of the, it could be a frustration, or it could be seen as the brilliance of the New Testament. It doesn't give a cookie cutter model for every church in every century in every zip code, because they wouldn't fit. Instead, you get principles that need to be applied in your context. So at ABC, we are elder led with congregational involvement because they do hold the keys of the kingdom. Furthermore, pretty sure it's 1 Peter 5. Jimmy, if you don't give me props, because that's my first mention of 1 Peter 5 all week. Come on, give it up. Give it up. I did pretty good this week.
Congratulations.
Wish I could think of the verse for you, but it's actually in Acts. We were preaching in 1 Peter. Oh, I could have made it the whole week without talking about 1 Peter. I think it's maybe Acts 16. Where it appears the word about appointing elders, it included the allusion of hand raising. It's not definitive, but it was a hint that the congregation was involved in voting who are going to be the elders. Now, that's not definitive enough to say that's the way that it must be, but that's the way that we do it. Why? Because, first of all, I think it's biblical to have congregational involvement. Second, they hold the keys to the kingdom. They should be guarding doctrine. They should be involved in church discipline issues. And third, I think that the congregation has every right to be involved in decisions that directly impact them. Do they need to know that this year we're actually buying 8 balloons instead of 4 balloons for the church secretary's birthday party? No. No, that would be getting so bogged down you couldn't get anything done. But buying a building or leasing a building? Yeah. I think a good principle is that when there's a good chunk of money that's going to be spent, the congregation should know. You have to define what a good chunk of money is. When somebody is being hired in an elder role, like a pastor role, I think the church should be able to raise their hands and vote. Because they have to submit themselves to that individual. Do I think, though, that the elders can have any authority in doing things without the congregation? Sure. Could they be hiring certain roles? Yes, they can. I think the line is how direct is the authority of that position over the people to determine if the congregation gets to vote or not. So you've got you've got congregational ed. Where the congregation decides everything. Go find out what your church polity is. Take a look. And then you can simply bring that document to the pastor if he is not abiding by it to say, we have some concerns, brother. Here's our examples. Here's the Constitution. Let's see if we can get in the line with operating the church the way that it was originally intended to be run. And try to work it out. Should you ever leave? It's not a cardinal issue. I think what would be a deciding factor for me would be the attitude of the pastor. Is he wanting to be an authoritarian? Does he respond poorly and bristle? Now, give him time, because sometimes, let's be honest, we all bristle when we're confronted with error. But is he willing to work with you and to change? Then I think you should absolutely stay, assuming, of course, it's a good Bible-teaching church. Could it rise to the level where it's like, this is just not being run in a way that is honoring to the Lord, using people's money well, and involving the congregation? Sure. It would be one of those issues, though, that I'd be slower in making my decision. Why? Because it's not a cardinal doctrine. It's something important, don't get me wrong, but it's not a cardinal doctrine. So go slowly and send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a text from Justin. Todd, if a husband and wife are leading a co-ed Bible study together, does that violate 1 Timothy 2:12?
I believe so. Because if your wife is teaching with men present, then I think it's violating that principle. 1 Peter 2:12, I don't think that it could be any more basic, more pedantic, more simple. I do not allow a woman to teach or have authority over men. And so if it is in the church context, it is Bible teaching, then I think you've got a violation of that. Now, break it up. If you want the women to be taught, a woman can teach women. By all means, separate it. Do the what do they call those things? Gender. Do gender distinctions if you want to. But it's for the order of the church. It's the orderliness of the church. It's for making sure that we follow God's principles. Because if we do not on this issue, have fun. because everybody's going to be fighting over who gets to have the most power. God settled the issue with teaching, preaching reserved for men. It doesn't mean that women are less. It doesn't mean that women can't teach women or children. And that's a very high, that's a high honor. I'm just pondering something for a second. So this isn't a commentary on anybody in particular, but if you get together a group of pastors that teach and preach, they are all about the conversation will inevitably be about the onerous responsibility of being a qualified elder, of being qualified to preach, qualified to teach, handling the word of God rightly, the terror that comes from doing it wrong because we'll be judged with a stricter judgment. I wonder if the women who are trying to be preachers have those conversations. I just wonder, because I know we men do. Because it's scary business. I wonder if women who are desiring to be preachers have that conversation. Or is it possible? I'm musing here, which means I'm asking for liberty in my commentary. Are they just more interested in being in that position, in being in that role, and not as concerned with being qualified for that role or being in that role and doing it rightly? Just wondering, you know, anybody by the name of Beth has that conversation. Idea at wretched.org, and please feel free to text 877-282-2337. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's something fun to know about Fortis Plus. It's not the same 12 videos on repeat. We're constantly adding new content. Our fellows are putting out hot takes on what everyone's talking about this week. We've got Gary Varvel drawing cultural cartoons that are funnier than your dad jokes. Not my dad jokes, but yours for sure. There's always something new on Fortis Plus. Download it, throw it on your smart TV, and see what Christ-centered content actually looks like. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Now, be honest with me for a second. Is your marriage thriving, or is it just surviving? Are you and your spouse building something together, or are you just really trying to get through another week without another major blow-up? And Fortis Institute fellow Pastor Brad Bigney hosts a podcast called Thrive, and that's exactly what it's all about. And it's only made possible because of our gospel partners. Help us reach more families with the truth of God's word. You can find out how right now at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. You know, you can love the Lord with absolutely everything in you and still go mute when somebody asks you, how do you even know the Bible is true? You feel the answer deep down. You just can't put it into words. And Dr. Jason Lyle has spent his entire career studying the universe. And in his new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, he asks the hard questions about God and turns doubt into confidence. Irrefutable Proof of Creation is streaming right now on Fortis Plus, with new episodes dropping every week. Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool. It's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it in what they already believe. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Of course I am. Rocking the Casbah here on Wretched Radio. Whatever that means. If you can figure out anything this guy is saying, you win. The word oil.
I've been shaking to the top. The shaky told his Cadillac. He went cruising.
They're in front of an oil rig, and there's an Arabian guy chasing him or something. What in the world? This is Wretched Radio. I gots to know the lyrics to this thing. I'm sorry, because I can't understand a single word. Now, Jimmy, did that sound familiar at all to you?
No, not at all.
You've never heard that song?
I've never in my life heard that song until right this moment.
But you know what, though? If you played, like, a George Jones song,
oh yeah,
I'd be like, I've never heard that before, and you'd be just as dismayed as I am. Here we go. You ready? Now, the king told the boogeyman, you have to let that raga drop. What's a raga? The oil down the desert way has been shaken to the top. The sheik, it was a sheik running around. He drove his Cadillac. He went a-cruising down the ville. Cruising down the ville? Like a Cadillac coupe de ville? I don't. The musin was a-standing on the radiator grill. The Sharif don't like it. Rockin' the Casbah, rockin' the Casbah. The Sharif don't like it. Rockin' the Casbah, rockin' the Casbah. These guys could be worship music writers. By order of the prophet, now it could be a Christian song because it has the word prophet in it. We ban that boogie sound. Degenerate the faithful with that crazy Casbah sound. But the Bedouin, they brought out the electric camel drum. The local guitar picker got his guitar picking thumb. As soon as the sheriff had cleared the square, they began to wail. The Sharif don't like it. Rockin' the Casbah. Would you like to know that there's actually more verses? We'd like to know it, but we don't want to hear it. Heard. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Who text in, Jimmy, so happy you're back. Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be back. He said, Todd was floundering without you. Yeah.
I was a mess.
He says he's crabby. I was crabby the other day. He says, I'm crabby right along with you because the past few episodes, things sound different. I think he's referring to all the changes around here.
Oh, the new equipment.
The new equipment. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not where it needs to be.
No, it's not. And I'm figuring it out every day.
We had an Edsel. Just think of our equipment here as an Edsel. And we were just given a Tesla.
Something like that.
And figuring it out it's a lot. There's a lot of, everything is on the computer now.
Well, basically pretty much. And it's a future-proof system. And it's something that we'll be able to use for years and years and years and grow into more and more. And it's going to be more efficient. It's just really hard to learn. Especially when I was out and not here when it was installed.
Yeah, that was kind of a problem. Yeah. But Adrian and Benjamin did a bang up job. Great. It's great. It's going to be better. So sorry if it does sound a little. It probably sounds. My guess is it's just the sound quality.
Yeah, just bear with us.
Yeah, we'll We'll get there.
Yep.
877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous as well. What do you think of trying to witness to scammers over text, email, or phone?
Scammers.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter did something to my phone to, like, get rid of them. And at first, it didn't seem to work. I have not been getting scam calls. So if you have a daughter, you could ask your daughter to make your phone not get the scam stuff. I get like one every few days. I was getting about a dozen a day, driving me bonkers. So there is a way to block those if you can. So I'm assuming these are like you pick it up and you actually talk to them. Hey, I say knock yourself out. That works for you. Do it. I remember some anecdotes that I'm sure I did this and I've heard others do this when you used to get what we'd call a telemarketing call. So and you didn't have the caller ID. So you just picked up the phone. Hello. Hello, Mr. Fryell. I'm calling to see if you would like to discuss life insurance. You know what? I'll tell you what. Let's cut a deal. I will give you 2 minutes to give me your spiel. If you will give me 2 minutes to give you my spiel. And if they were confused or befuddled or said no, well, then the conversation was over. If they said, okay, then I let them pitch me for 2 minutes. And then I asked them if they'd consider themselves to be a good person for 2 minutes. So, yeah, you can do it. It can be effective. In fact, if you are one who tends to be shyer with face-to-face conversations, awesome way to do it. Now, having said that, I do believe that it is perfectly fine to receive phone calls and witness to people. Just don't be calling people randomly. Yeah, hi. Got your number off the LinkedIn. Would you consider yourself to be a good person? Probably not the best way to do it. 877-282-2337.
This is from a...
Is that where you get numbers, by the way, the LinkedIn?
The LinkedIn. I don't know if they... Do they give numbers out?
There is something... There is a thing that you can... Where you can put somebody's phone... Been verified, I think is what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that can do it. I guess that would have been a better reference. That's what that would have been.
All right, this is from Anonymous who texted in. Todd, is it acceptable for Christian teenagers to date? And if so, when?
I'll tell you when. But I can't do it authoritatively because there isn't a Bible verse that says so. There are so many variables, not to mention culture, not to mention maturity, and not to mention the individuals themselves. My question is this. What is the point in dating as a teenager when you can't get married? Now, even as I say that, I think we all know people who did date when they were teenagers and got married. But those are the exception. We've all heard the stories. I saw her at the Walgreens in fifth grade, and I knew that was going to be my wife. And they got married. But that doesn't happen very often. But when it's intentional dating, if there is no end available, meaning if there's no marriage possible, all I see is potential downside and not upside. If for instance, if you date, you can have some fun and what have you. Okay, so there's the upside. You can have a little bit of fun with somebody of the opposite gender. But how many bad things can happen? Regrettable things that can happen. Things that you look back when you're older and go, oh, I wish that I hadn't done that. I wish that I had listened to my proverbial father and not put myself into those situations where I could sin like that. Even worse things can happen. Pregnancies can happen. And the knitting of your heart and the tearing apart. That's pretty good right there. I could write the ripping of your heart. I think it's already been taken because you get knit together and then somebody breaks up and what happens? Devastation. So you just get hurt. So I don't see a lot of wisdom in it. I can't make a law where there is no law, but I would say get to the point where dating is not done the American way per se, where it's just, hey, kind of dig the chick. Let's hang out and go to the movies. I just see danger, Will Robinson. I think wisdom says become the man, become the woman that's qualified to be married, that is of the appropriate age to be married legally, and then go about the business. You can call it dating if you want, courting if you prefer. But I think if you don't have the ability to marry, oh, the downside for me is just too great. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
No, I completely agree. I mean, I think you've got to if you're going to be dating, that has to be your mindset. I don't know if it was Paul Washer or Bodie Bauckham who made the comment that if dating without thinking about being married, without that mindset, it's like going to the grocery store with no money.
Yeah.
You're going to leave unhappy, or you're going to take something that doesn't belong to you.
Right.
and that's exactly right.
Okay. I'm having a flashback. Many, many years ago, a boy, maybe 16 years old, wanted to meet with me. And it's like, you're kidding. You're 16. And he wanted to sit down and talk to me about, I think, pursuing my daughter for marriage. And I remember we were sitting out on the back deck, and I said, well, let me ask you a question. Just see if you can paint yourself into this scenario. You own a car dealership, and a 16-year-old comes in kicking the tires. And the salesperson thinks, well, maybe parents have got the money, so we'll let him take a test drive. But, of course, the kid doesn't buy the car. And then comes back the next day and wash, rinse, repeat over and over again. And then finally, the owner says, well, ask the kid, does he have the money to buy the car? And when the salesman asked him, the kid said, no, I just like driving it. Would you let the kid keep coming back and driving your precious vehicle? And to the young man's credit, I'll never forget it, he said, well, thank you very much for your time, sir. And he got up and he walked out the door. Well, at least he had those wits about him. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.